Good afternoon. Thanks for coming along, everybody. I had the luxury of meeting most of you, which was great. And I really appreciate you choosing my session over some of the more geeky sessions, so that's great. And also appreciate you guys coming to the graveyard shift. This is the toughest shift, I think, for a presenter, and maybe even for you guys, because I think we're about an hour away from finishing. And so I really appreciate that. Thank you for coming along. It's great to also meet and see some of the faces. I've got a couple of customers in here and a couple of prospects in here, so welcome to you guys as well as everyone else, of course. My name's Yusuf. I'm known as Yui, so please, when you're asking me questions, feel free to use my nickname. It's what I'm known as. And so today, you'd work out from the program that you have that the session's about choosing the right projects for your enterprise. So project server is quite a large beast, covers a lot, covers everything from uploading schedules, aggregating resource information, right across to managing your tasks, your risks, your issues, collaboration. There's tons and tons and tons of stuff in it. So I've only got 45 minutes, so what I had to do was choose an area in project server that I'm going to focus on, and that's around prioritising, choosing the right projects and making sure that they are going to contribute to where you want to go as an organisation. So I hope that makes sense, and we'll see how we go. It's a little bit businessy and a little bit toolsy, so I hope that's what you were sort of expecting. So if you're in the audience right now, you may fall into one of these categories. So you might be a person who's been asked to prioritise the portfolio. You might have been a person who's asked to work out what should be the projects that we do. You might be working in the project office and trying to make sense of all the demand for the projects and looking at your poor old supply and trying to reconcile those two. You might have had a bad experience with Microsoft Project in the past and wondering whether it's improved and it's got a bit better. And the short answer is yes, but it comes with some caveats. And or you might just be one of those people who likes to know stuff and you want to come along and know something more about Microsoft Project. And also possibly, because it's a SharePoint app these days and has been for a few years, you might be also a SharePoint junkie and might want to know a bit more about what SharePoint can offer in products like this. What gives me the right to get up and talk down to you from this podium? I've been using training, consulting, and even coding in my past Microsoft Project for 25 years now. That's the desktop version. It's really the only Microsoft product or any product really that I've really taken to with any gusto. I use PowerPoint and Excel and all that, but Project's my thing. And since the disastrous launch of the first version of Microsoft Project Server in 2000, they called it Project Central. It was so bad that they had to rename it for the next release. So yeah, I've been using both for the years that they've been around. I've been part of or led over 70 implementations in Australia and New Zealand in the last 11 years. I've had a couple of unsuccessful engagements, so that gives me the right to talk to you about what works and doesn't work. But in the main, they've been very successful. I like what I do, I'm not perfect. And just recently, I think Microsoft, after serving my 10-year unpaid apprenticeship, they've continued that unpaid status, but they've made me a VTSP, which means now that I've got a bit more access to some of the strategy, where the product's going, and I can get up and talk to you guys about what you should do and what you shouldn't do and so on. So I hope that qualifies me as somebody who can get up and talk to you. We've got to know why we're here, always got to have a purpose for the presentation. What I want to do is show you how Project Server 2013 online, which you can have in a matter of days in your organisation, how you could choose the right projects using that tool set. I'm going to take you through the top-down approach, the bottom-up approach, and the meet-at-the-middle approach, and just put them out there and see which might suit your organisation best and get you thinking. And just remember that we can get it up and running very, very quickly. So if we're going to talk about right projects, what are right projects? And some of you in this room will be project managers. You get what project management's about. Project management's about delivering a project right. Whereas what we're going to be talking about today briefly is portfolio management. And if you haven't heard that term before, I didn't want to assume you knew or you didn't know. A portfolio is a collection of projects and programs that are grouped to facilitate the effective management of that work to meet strategic business objectives. So effectively, portfolio management is the parts of the portfolio which we can quantify, we can measure, we can rank and prioritise. And so today's session is focused on that top end, the sort of area that typically the CFO, the CIO, the CEO, the COO, and maybe their reports are meant to be doing. And I don't want to show of hands because we'd embarrass the management in NZ, but I'll bet you that most organisations represented in this room are not doing that really well. And so we can't fix that mentality, but we can certainly give them no excuse for not doing it because Project Server can do it, and I hope to convince you of that today. So if we're going to work that way from the top down, then really that's a model you may wish to think about. What's the vision for the organisation? Normally we have a strategy written to achieve that vision, and then from that, Project Server will kick in. So from that enterprise strategic drivers level down is what I'm going to be demonstrating to you how you do it. So we're not here to write strategies, not here to enhance the vision. I'm here to show you how you can support those two by linking them to that and prioritising your projects using the tool set. All these slides will be available to download from the TechEd website, and I'll show you later how you could, if you wanted to, take them down from my site as well. So why do it? What's in it for you? Like I said, you can check this out later on my slide set, but effectively, if you haven't been choosing the right projects and you haven't been delivering projects well, you're leaking about typically 50% of your investment. And so that's the problem. And so if you're wondering what's the problem we're trying to fix, we're trying to fix that leakage. And if you work in an environment where people are working on lots and lots of projects, not able to focus on one, moving from one to the other, you're leaking value, you're leaking costs, because that's very costly. So if you were to tackle the doing projects right and choosing the right projects, then you will maximise the value, the benefits that you might get out of your investment. So looks good, doesn't it, on paper? There is some truth to it, and so it's worth investigating. Just want to explore a couple more slides before we dive into the tool set. If we are a true P3M organisation, P3M jargon, project, program, portfolio, the whole pyramid. If we are a true P3M organisation, then we recognise that different layers have different responsibilities. So the project layer is focused on time, cost, scope, quality. That's your classic project management 101, PMI, PRINCE2, PMBOK, that sort of stuff. Program management, that's the hidden secret in this country. Not many organisations know how to do that properly. And program management, not for today, but for you to consider about, that's where we lock the projects into the business and produce outcomes. We focus on benefits management, change management, dependency management, and so on. But the layer that I'm going to be looking at with you guys today is that portfolio layer, where we're choosing the right projects for our organisation. And not being driven by self-interest or by the loudest voice or the craftiest person, driven by the well-stated and well-understood vision and strategy that we want to achieve. What do you need? You need a whole bunch of things. And today I'm not here to talk to you about what you need to do organisationally, people, capability, methodology and so on. We're not going to get into those debates. I'm going to focus purely on the tool set. So we're going to support that concept of right projects and doing projects right by focusing today on the tool set. But it's one of four ingredients that you will need. I was just talking to a gentleman right now from a bank who said that we've got Project Server, we just need to get people to use it. So you can see that maybe the focus was on implementing the tool set, and maybe there were some shortcuts taken in some of those other three areas. It didn't create that desire to use and continue to use Project Server. So is it really easy? It is. And all you need is an organisation or group of people who've got a strategy and a vision in place. And then I'm going to show you those first two steps in a few minutes. You just need to have like a bit of a spreadsheet full of all your project information, all your projects, costs, you know, all that sort of standard stuff. And if you could let us know or let yourself know what possible links there might be between those projects in terms of sequencing, that's all you need to do what I'm about to show you. And And just to prove to you that it's not impossible, just recently in Auckland, I did, in 2 days, with five members of a PMO, we did an entire portfolio exercise for just under $120 million worth of projects. We got it in 2 days, all the information, all the metadata, all the strategic drivers, everything I'm about to show you, we did it in 2 days with a group of people, and out of that two-day session was a prioritised portfolio that gave the leadership team confidence that they were about to cancel, pause, speed up the projects that were now going to best get them to where they wanted to go. It's not hard. It used to be hard. Not anymore. Right. You don't need schedules to do this. What I'm about to show you is with no reference to Microsoft Project on the desktop. This is all Project Server online. You don't need schedules. And we'll talk about why that's important for some. You've got the top down, the bottom up, and the meat of the middle. And this is the last slide before I get into the tool set. Top down is fantastic when you have that luxury of starting almost from scratch. And why not? Why not put all your project ideas and programs in and then work out what's the best and let's go from there. Bottom up, perfect for an organisation that's suffering from a lot of capacity or cost stress. We don't have enough people, we don't have enough money, we don't have enough time. And so why not at that point do a stock take, collect that information, and then let's look as we go upwards and see which are the best projects for us to be focusing on. And meet at the middle, I get a couple of those engagements where an organisation says, we know where we're going, we need to come from the top and work out what should be the right projects, but we also want to know what's going on in the organisation. And then when we meet at the middle, we'll make some hard calls, some hard decisions about what are the projects that we should cancel, speed up, pause, whatever you want to do, reconfigure, all sorts of things. So that was it. Now, did any of that make sense? All cool. Is there anybody got any questions on any of those slides? Because I tend to talk fast, particularly early on. I'm still a little bit nervous, but I'm okay now. So is there no problems? Everything was as clear as mud or clear as glass? Yeah? Cool. Good. All right, in that case then, what I'll do is I'll switch over now to machine one, which is my laptop. And I'll just give you the background. I'm now using an RJ45 cable, the wire internet connection, but I'm accessing Project online and it's sitting in Singapore, as you guys would know. And so fingers crossed that all goes well. But usually on any half-decent connection, it does quite well. So this is the home page. Is anybody in the room, just to give me a sense, anybody in the room who hasn't seen Project Server at all? Oh, good. Okay, so we've got about 80% virgins in the room. That's great. Good. So that's the home page. That's what you see when you go to Project Server. So it would be worth pointing out to a couple of you the difference between that and this. That's Microsoft Project on the desktop, Project Pro. Whereas this is Microsoft Project Server on the web, online. Okay, guys? And so what do you need to access this? You just need a browser and a license. And that license is Project Web App. It's right there in green on the screen. So it's Project Web App. You can rent that now per month. I don't want to get in trouble with quoting prices, but it's about $30 per person per month to have that access. And so what I'm about to show you can be done by a one-woman, one-man company. They can use this on their own, don't have to even have Project Pro, nothing installed on your premises, it's all online. Project Online has a couple of key areas. The first area it has is where all your projects are stored. So when I click on Projects, these are all the projects which are called my Project Center. And you can create dashboards as you like, but that's a list of all the projects. And you can change those views. You don't have to be locked into that. You might want to see all your projects by phase, which is what I've got there. Or you might want to see just a plain old vanilla list of all the projects in the organisation and so on. But I've still got it. Yeah, sorry. And so on. So you can see it and group it how you want to. I'm going to go back to summary and choose workflow stage name. So that's just the project center. The other big thing is your resources. This is the enterprise resource pool. And these resources will come in various ways. The best way would be for it to hook up to your Active Directory. So Project Server Online can hook up to your Active Directory on-premise, and as people join the organization and they're put into Active Directory, they'll appear on the Project Server Online instance available for you to use. You can also manually enter in resources, particularly generic resources, DBA, programmer, project manager, because we want to use generic roles, and I'll talk about those later. You've also got the ability to enter in other resources like cost resources, airfares and stuff, or material resources like, wood, buildings, books, whatever. So you've got the ability to enter all those resources into the resource pool. But today, I'm focusing on the strategy part of Project Server. And so I'm going to take you to the first step in that process that I've outlined to you, and it's called the driver library. So you've got to remember, I'll just go back and get that slide up. What I'm trying to do now is distill the strategy. So I'll just flick to 8. There we go. So if you have a look at that, you see that strategy? What I'm going to do now is show you how you take your existing strategy and distill out of it 5, 6, 7, 8 statements that capture the essence of that strategy. Does that make sense? So if I flick back to 1, let me show you. We're working with a fictional organisation here. If you were to read their strategy, those 7 strategic drivers capture the essence of that. Why? Let's find out. By the way, this part of Project Server comes configured out of the box. So there's no configuring required. You just go new and you'll get a page where you enter in your strategic driver. I'm about to show you that page. If I was to click on reduce expense base, you'll see that you have an area for you to enter in the name of the driver and put in a bit of a description. Also, you have a spot where you can enter in a department in your organisation. That's an area which you just configure very simply, but there you go. In this organisation, they're the 6 divisions. Why is it prompting that here? Because you might be entering in a driver that's not an umbrella level 1 strategic driver, you might be entering now a divisional driver. So Project Server allows you to prioritise within your departments or divisions, but also the ability to prioritise across the whole organisation. Does that make sense? So if I leave that blank, it means it's a umbrella or level 1 driver. People come and go, strategies come and go, so sometimes you need to make a strategic driver inactive and store it because it's no longer part of our strategy. But this is the most important part of the strategic driver. For each driver, you need to write an impact statement. It's very simple. You need to be able to articulate what does extreme contribution look like as opposed to strong, moderate, low, or none. Now let's stop here, because some of you will be lost at this point. You're thinking, what the hell is he on or what's he talking about? What I'm saying is that if I was to go back to where I came from, I'm saying from now on in this organisation, for every new project, so if Brett, you're trying to build this new watch as part of your products, you will be forced for every new project now to rate your project's contribution to each of those drivers. Do you get what I'm saying? So now, when I click on reduce expense base, we're effectively asking Brett, we're saying, how does this project help reduce expenses? And how much in particular? You will have articulated in the business case how, but you need to have a number, a benefits. And so you can see from here that Brett might come back and say, well, actually, if we remove the car parks from the organisation, we might save $300,000 a year. Therefore, this project is a moderate contributor to that driver. Is that clearer than it was maybe 5 minutes ago? Yeah. So this is a one-off exercise, effectively. You are going to work out how many drivers you need, and then you're going to workshop, lovely to workshop, the way we're going to measure the contributions of the various projects to our strategic drivers. So once you've done that, you pat yourself on the back, because effectively what you've done is you've announced to the organisation that from now on all projects have to be assessed by their contribution to strategic drivers. And I think it's fair to say that if you were an extreme driver to four or five of these, you're probably, the likelihood of your project would probably be high. And if you do this assessment in your business case and you go, oh, God, I'm only a low, a none, a low, none, moderate, it's probably not going to help your project's rating. So can you see what's already happening? We start to moderate some of the crazy pet projects that you see in organisations where you can't work out, why the hell are we doing this? Oh, it's because somebody's got their eye on their CV, aren't they? And they're going to be in a couple of years moving on and they want to be able to say they implemented something that was totally useless to their organisation but good for their CV. So we try and moderate some of that nonsense. So you've done that. Now, if you've read Animal Farm by 1984, you guys will know that all animals are equal, right? Well, by the end of the book, all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. So it's wrong to think that all these strategic drivers are equal. We have to weight them. And so we go into driver prioritisation, and Project Server allows you to store different people's perspectives on the weightings of those drivers. And there's two ways of doing it. You can either manually enter in the numbers, making sure they add up to 100, or you can go through something called a pairwise comparison exercise, where you take every driver and compare it to the other and work out, let Project Server work out, based on your responses, what the weightings are. I'm going to show you the latter, the more fun pairwise comparison exercise one. But before I do, let's have a look and see what the CIO thinks. The CIO reckons that increasing market share is of 33% weighting and improving employee satisfaction is 3%. He's a tough bloke. Right, let's go and have a look and see what the COO thinks. She might have a different perspective. If we click on her, we can see from there that reducing expenses is primary for her. But again, she's with the CIO, don't care too much about the employee satisfaction. But really, don't read too much into that. That's really a case of prioritising the drivers, that's all. There's always going to be a loser with these things, and that's the one. But the point here is, what we're going to do is we're going to grab one of these. We're going to grab maybe the HR's perspective. And are you surprised by that? It's very cartoonish. Improving employee satisfaction is the highest. The important thing here is I want to show you now how they got here. What you do is you kick off something called the prioritised drivers. Can you guys see how we're going to take driver one now and compare it to each of the other six? Can you see that? And what are you doing? Well, you're having a little battle between them. Is expanding into new markets and segments extremely more important, all the way down to extremely less important than that driver? Can you see what's happening here? And once you've chosen the answer between 1 and 2, you then go 1 and 3, 1 and 4, 1 and 5, 1 and 6, and 1 and 7. So what you've done is you've compared driver 1 to the other 6. It's not enough. Because when you hit next driver and you go to driver 2, you've got to not do it again. You've got to do it for the other 5 that 2 hasn't been compared to. See how there's one less now? And when you go to driver 3, you've only got 4 to do. When you go to driver 4, you've got 3 to do. Driver 5, 2, and I think you know where this is going. Driver 6 has got 1. And driver 7 doesn't have to be done because driver 7 was done as it went with each of the others. So, what happens? Project Server goes, aha, that's the weightings for the choices that you made. But have you been inconsistent? Because it's very easy to go, A is more important than B, B is more important than C, and then by mistake, C is more important than A. So Project Server tracks how consistent you've been, and it says, you're in that amber zone. You've maybe made a couple of inconsistent calls there, and you can go back and sort those out. So I just wanted to show you how it gets to that number. It gets to that number by using something called pairwise comparison, okay? But you could have done it manually. Just make sure those numbers add up to 100. Cool. Now, finally, by the way, would you share the strategic drivers with the general public in your organisation? Yes, it's going to be on the business case. They're going to see the seven things that your project will be assessed by. Would you share the impact statements with them, whether it's between 250 and 500,000? Yes, you would, because you want to give people a hint as to the claims they're making and how they're going to be assessed. But here's the question for you. Would you share the weightings with the general? A lot of shaking of heads. Why not, Rodolfo? I agree with you, by the way. Exactly. Well, there's an angle I hadn't thought of. Yes, that would probably make a few employees very annoyed. What's a more sort of earthy reason? Because humans will... Sorry? Absolutely. You've obviously done it once in your life at least. Otherwise, you wouldn't know about it. That's right. We're led into temptation, aren't we? So we sometimes can skew the business case if we know that the leadership team, that's their special focus or special interest area. So take temptation away from them and keep this information with a smaller cabal of people in the organisation. Good. Right. Well, let's see how it all comes together now. You've got all these, and now we go to the next step. The next step in the process is to start building some portfolio analyses. This is now the exciting bit. This is the bit where we bring everything together. I am in the middle of this going to stop and have to wind you back so you understand where those projects come from. But for now, go with me. What we're going to do is we're going to look at a typical portfolio analysis. Don't be put off by the busy screen. If it's not busy, it's not going to be of any value to you. So there's a lot to look at and a lot to absorb, and we're going to take our time today and get to know it. So that's where we're going to end. Why don't we go back and start the journey? But let me just show you where you're going to end. You're going to end up with a spot where we're going to see the total costs and benefits that this selection of projects will bring to the organisation. We're going to see all the projects that we've selected listed there. We're going to see something called the efficiency frontier. What's the absolute best mix of projects I could have in the organisation, as long as it stays near that efficiency curve? This is where you sort of go like, got to trust the formula. And then you're also going to get feedback on how well you're spending against where you wanted to go. And so look at that. How did that happen? Anyway, look at that. You can see that the light blue denotes the prioritisation of the drivers when we just did that exercise. And yet, according to our current portfolio of projects, we are overspending, and hugely underspending based on our existing projects. So you have the ability now to go back and actually challenge and say, guys, it's great you've got all these project ideas, but actually, they're probably not the best mix. We need better candidates, better ideas for projects, because as that currently stands, we're going to see a lumpy return on where we're going to invest. But before we get into that in more detail, let's go back. So what we're going to do now is go back to the start. I want to stress that when you go to create a portfolio analysis, it doesn't have to be global. It can be local. So the fact that you can create more than one analysis means that the IT manager can do one for the IT section, the marketing person can do one for the marketing section, and so on. But I'm going to go back to define properties. You give it a name. Is it global or local? You've been there on that front. Just give it a few seconds, guys. I guess I'm competing with others in the building right now. Even though it's all about me, I have to concede that others are using the internet. Right. So you can see from there's the name, department. And which of those prioritisations are you going to use? Are you going to look at the CIO's perspective? Are we going to take the COO's perspective? Or are we going to get them around a table and get their joint perspective? You can choose here which one. What projects would you like to prioritise? In this case, I've chosen all 27 that we have in the system, but you don't have to. You can pick and choose all the new ones coming, or the new ones and the existing ones, and see how they would look if they're mashed up together. I'm going to take them all 27. I want to see my portfolio spread out over a 3-year period, because project servers are smart enough, even if you've got a project that goes over more than 1 year, if you just want to see next year and you just put in September 2014 to September 2015, it will just show you the effort and the costs and the benefits for that 1 year. So you can choose whatever you like. And I I know it does at least 25 years, but I think it goes to 40 or even more. But anyway, so if you've got a 40-year portfolio that you're working on, good luck to you. I intend to be probably below ground at that point. Right. We're also going to use generic roles here, because my advice to you would be, and best practice would be, that when you're proposing projects that you don't use named people on your projects, that you use generic roles. Later, once you've selected the projects you want to do, later switch them to named roles. And it's a really good process, which if I get time, yes, I will show you today. And then finally, you need to look at, let's not just lie back and let the computer decide all this. We still have to be human about it. There are sometimes situations where government passes a piece of legislation. We have to meet some sort of requirement, compliance, and we might have to force projects in, or we might actually have to, for the sake of the organisation's sanity, force a project out. So being able to identify those projects that we need to force in and force out is important as well. So once you've done that, you then go to the next step, and the next step is to prioritise those projects. At this point, I have to ask you to hold this thought while I take you back to show you something. How did these projects get here? They are the projects down the left-hand side, and along the top are your strategic drivers. And where each project meets a strategic driver, the response, the contribution of that project to that driver is tabulated here. Does that make sense? Okay, so hold that thought. Let's go on a little journey, just for a few seconds. We're going to go back to projects, and we're going to select a project, any project. And when we open up that project in Project 2013, we see lots of pages of information with fields on them. But look at one of them. One of those pages is called the Strategic Impact page. And do you get now what happens here? Do you get that? There's your strategic driver with the impact statements, and you ask the proposer to simply choose what they think their project's contribution is to the strategic driver. Does that make sense? I had to show you that so you could appreciate what that other table was about. When we selected those projects, it brought this page with it and then laid it out on the table. Yeah? Cool, good stuff. You know you're allowed to say no, and you're allowed to ask me to go back and explain something and all that sort of stuff. So there's no problems. We've got the right size audience for that. We can get a little bit intimate. Right, so let's go to portfolio analyses. Back to where we were. Click on baseline. And you'll see that I'm almost back to where we were. And that's the screen that we were at. So hopefully there's no mystery about how we've arrived at that. Each project has a strategic impact page, and it's now tabulated the response to each of those pages. Great. This next screen is the one that many organisations have never seen before. They've never had the opportunity to see all their projects prioritised from the most important to the least. You're about to see it now. Here we go. Look at that. So whether I like it or not, the most important project in the organisation, if we got the strategic drivers right, if we wrote the right impact statements, if we got our weightings for the drivers right, and if we assess the contribution of each project to those strategic drivers right, that's what you're looking at. The most important project in this organisation is e-commerce portal development. Well, there you go, a round of applause. So basically, you can see from there that that's from the highest priority to the lowest priority. But you've seen Little Britain, maybe. We don't go computer says no or computer says yes at this point. But there's got to be a bit more human, proper portfolio management interaction at this point. So we could stop project server at this point and say, thank you very much. You've told us our priorities. Thank you. I'll just get on with it. I'm going to start with the top project and I'll go until I drop. No. What you've got to do, there's got to be a bit more thought go into it. And so at this point now, hopefully, you'll get what that screen was about. There they are. There's the 27 projects down the right-hand side. There you go, it's assessed the contribution. It's told you the most efficient. It's the most efficient of any collection you could have. Why? Because at this stage, it assumes you've got all the money and all the resources you need. Because look at that, it's gone. I've added up the cost of all the projects and it's 22 million. Great. And I've added up all the benefits that you've outlined and quantified and it's 55 million. Fantastic. And if there's no restrictions and you've got all the cash and all the people in the world, just go for it, guys. You don't need to prioritise your projects. But, Brad, you asked for 22 million of the leadership team. We won't mention the company name in case you say something naughty. And they come back and say, Brad, we haven't got 22 million. We've only got... Oh, don't make it cruel. Five's too hard for me. 18. Who was that? Thank you. I saw two hands go up, but one hand went like that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, cool. So 18 million. Brad, you're too cruel. And I'm glad I didn't mention your company name because people would think your leadership team was stingy. Right, so 18 million is the number I'm putting in. But remember, at this point, all projects have been selected. Let's see what happens when we type in 18 million and hit recalculate. Good timing, because we have to wait for this to come up. Yeah. Cool. So can you see what's happened, guys? Selected projects. Oh, look at that. Two projects unselected. So it's actually said, nah, if you've only got 18 million, then there's two projects that have to come out of that list. And we're going to talk about this in more detail, but it's probably more than two, actually. I'm not used to the screen resolution being like that. There you go, I'm a liar. Five projects were pushed out of that original 27. Can you see that, you guys? And so that's the concept of prioritising. We've only got 22 million. What's the best bang for buck that I can get for that? And so what does it do? How does it calculate? It's comparing strategic value to benefits and to cost. That's the formula that it's using. That's the efficiency frontier. Type that into Bing, Google, whatever, and learn more about efficiency frontier. If you're interested, there's white papers. I can send you one if you write to me, whatever. So you can see that that's now considered the right way to prioritise. But again, you're sort of relying more on the computer rather than on maybe some of your instincts. You have put in 18 million, granted, but actually, you go and talk to the CEO, and the CEO says, sorry, but approval, apparel ERP upgrade, that's really, really critical to our organisation. We must do it. So if we click on auto and then click on force in, I've populated, you don't have to use these five. I've populated these five, and I want to show you why. I'm just going to flick over to the computer for a second. If any of you are working with leadership teams and you want to get through to them that we must have the winning collection of projects in our hands, some of you might like to see something which I developed. Very simple, very easy. There's no trademark, no copyright. Just go ahead and use it if you like it. And that's the Royal Flush of Portfolios. I liken the... You know how when you're playing poker, the ultimate hand to have is the Royal Flush? And by the way, it's a hearts. So if ever you freakishly had two people having Royal Flush in the same game, the hearts is what trumps. So what are the odds of a Royal Flush? Well, look at that, 649,000. But the Royal Flush is a great way to illustrate to the leadership team the right winning hand of projects they should have. And I'll explain to you what I mean by that. Because I like to think of the 10 card as those projects that we must do. They should be first into our bucket. Compliance projects. We've got to do them for reasons of law or compliance. Next into the bucket should be your maintenance projects. They're the jack projects. And they're the projects where if we don't invest in that system or don't invest in that process, something might break in our business. It's a judgment call. Do we keep Office 2007 for another year or two? Can we get by or should we invest in it now? It's a judgment call. Tactical projects, the queen projects, they're the projects which are in response to a disaster, to a competitor, to a change in technology. We weren't planning to do that at the start of the year, but we need to respond now in some way or not to that project. The king projects are the projects that come off the strategic plan. It's now 2014, you've written your 2020 vision, you know what projects you're going to do. Those projects that come off that strategic plan each year are your king projects. And then your ace are those projects where we need to allow ideas to come through. And so if an idea comes through, we think, wow, this is a game changer, this is a black swan. Well, you've got to have the ability to be able to encourage that project through. But by knowing what priorities you have, you can intelligently cancel or pause those projects to allow the innovative projects through. So your leadership teams might like that, but bringing that back to here, hopefully you can see why I configured this project. So if it took me about a minute to do it, just had to go to the field and enter in 5 entries, and it's ready to go. So I'm going to force that project in because it's a mandatory project. I used to use pet project as a label, but it started to annoy people, so it depends how honest you want to be. But anyway, mandatory is what I'm going to mask it as. I've also had some advice from HR that the organisation's just a bit changed out. Can we delay that a year? Or we've had advice from one of our Microsoft partners saying, guys, there's a piece of technology coming around the corner which will make that project half price and less stress. Why don't we just wait a year? Whatever. You work out what those force out and force in features or codes are going to be. But look what happens now. I've got 2 projects that have to come out and 1 that's going to go in. If I now hit recalculate, I missed a feature. I should have shown you how you could have saved that original 18K and then done another one and saved it again. But you'll see in a second that every time you do a recalculate, you can save it as another scenario and bring it up very quickly. So you can see from here what's happened. You can see that 2 have gone in to replace the 2 that came out. Now, how did it choose the other candidate project? We're going to find out very soon. So I'm going to save that now. What was your name, please? Nicola. So I'm going to save that as Nicola 18 million post CEO meeting. Whatever name you call it, it don't matter, as you're going to see. So I'm going to call that Nicola 18 million post CEO. The important thing is, though, that every time I do a different scenario, I can save it as a scenario. And now what I can do is, with the leadership team there, if it's my job to support them, is show them the various scenarios. There's our baseline. Everything's back. We're back to 22 million. We're back to all 27 projects being selected. But here, if we only got 17 million, Susanna 17, that's the projects we would have, and these are the projects that we wouldn't have, and so on. And then if we had the 18 million scenario, the Nicola 18, that's what we would have, and so on. So you can show these scenarios to the leadership team. But we all know that people love paper. So there's a great feature in here called Compare, where you can actually have those scenarios and print it off in Excel, in Word or whatever, and actually in one sheet or a couple of sheets of paper, depending on how many you got, just give it a second to write to the screen. There we go. You can see the 4 scenarios that I've got, the relative value of them, whether a project would be selected or not selected, and plot it. And there you go. So that's the output. You can also, in here, click on the scatter chart button and see how the value is the y-axis, the cost is the x-axis, and we can see how project tends to favour projects which are of high value and lower cost, and tends not to like, logically, the projects which are of higher cost and maybe lower value. Can you see that natural sort of groupings? We tend to, cartoonishly, like projects in the top left quadrant, tend to not like bottom right, and tend to have questions and discussions about risks and appetite of the other quadrants. So, was that right? Did that make sense? Yeah? Brad? Yeah. Thank you. I obviously paid you to ask that question, because the next thing I want to talk to you about is looking at resourcing across time. And I also want to talk to you about dependencies. They're the 2 topics I've got to cover before I sort of feel like I've done the right thing by you and haven't shortchanged you. Yep, cool. So what I'm going to do now is talk about, if you don't mind, Brad, the dependencies first, and then I'll come to the time thing. Because there's no point looking at the timing if you haven't got the dependencies right. So I'm just going to close that down. And inside analyses, there's something called dependencies. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to click on project dependencies. I'd ask you to set up the dependencies before you do your analysis, but it's never too late. You can always go back and create the dependency and then reskin it, if you like, or rerun it. Rodolfo, I don't feel so bad now running it at your place. This is the slowest I've seen it. But it helps them fill in some time until... there we go. So what I'm going to do is point out to you guys that there are four types. How easy is that to read? Can you all see those four? Yeah? Cool, good. So there are four types of dependencies. The first one is a dependency, where this project has to be done before this have to be done. Now, if any one of these four are selected, this one goes with that. Does that make sense? It goes in or out with it. The next one is called mutual inclusion. That's where you say, right, these three projects have to be done together. Any one of those selected? They're out. This is all of them out. The first one I just showed you was any one of those four could be selected and the one goes with it. The next one is a good one. We use that a lot with clients because they've got some spare cash or they've got alternatives to the same outcome. They might say, let's populate the insourced version of this project. Let's populate the outsourced, where we just give it to a partner. Let's put in the hybrid version. Let's put all three project proposals in and let project choose which one of the three best matches our portfolio. So that's a mutual exclusion. One in, the other's out. And then you've got your classic finish to start dependency. Need to have that before we can have that. And for any of you here who work in IT projects, that's a really important dependency. Because often when we do this exercise, I see the faces drop of the CIO and the IT people because they know that they're there to provide enabling stuff to help the business do its more direct line of business, right? But therefore, when you sometimes rate IT projects directly to the strategy, they tend to be a bit weaker. But by using the dependency element, we can say, hey, great that project, but you have to have SharePoint for that. So SharePoint becomes a dependency to the project that's trying to achieve the business. Therefore, SharePoint goes with it or SharePoint comes out, depending on where that business proposition sits in the scheme of things. So Brad, I had to do that before I could do the next bit. Cool. Right, back to portfolio analyses. And this is where, philosophically, I'll end the presentation. I've got a couple of slides I want to show you and we're done. So, what about time? So if we click on, if we go back to that baseline that we created a few minutes ago, there's another feature in here called Analyze Resources. And so if I click on Analyze Resources, this next step in the portfolio analysis and the final step in the portfolio analysis, if you're using resources, is where we get an aggregation of all the generic roles, or named roles, if you want to use named roles, go for it. But usually at the portfolio level, it's generic. So what it does here, I must remember that what you see is what I see, so I'll just keep looking here. So basically, what you're seeing now is the requirements to deliver that portfolio. The screen will change now on the right, and you'll see overall aggregated, we've got a good thing happening. At this stage, with the 20 whatever projects that we've selected, we're looking good because we don't see any reds. It's looking green. And what am I talking about? It's aggregating all the generic roles and requests for those resources and giving you a healthy looking picture of resourcing going forward. But this won't make sense. And you'll think, once again, I've got some trick up my sleeve if I don't show you how I got there. So let me go and show you briefly how that works. You like this because this is the high-level resourcing that we can do without having to use a schedule. This is really important. I'd like to finish the presentation. Server on this note. So if I go back to projects, and why don't we just bring up a new project? Why don't we just create a new project from start? So if I create a new project from start, you'll see therefore there's no magic. And can somebody yell out a project name for me? Just any random project name? That's random. Cynthia's new computer system. How's that? And it's a project. Oh, I used the apostrophe. Cynthia's new computer system and I'll make the owner Garth, and we'll make it a finance project. There we go. So if I now hit finish, something's happening. What's happening right now is that a workflow, which I'm not covering today, is attached to it. A project template, if required, is attached to it. And all the pages of information, SharePoint pages, are attached to it. So a fair bit of work's going on right now. It starts talking to you in a sort of human way, allegedly. Hold on, creating the project. And there it is. Look at that, you guys. You can see that there's the project, and that's where you can go and enter more information about the project. And guys, what you want to collect on the project is up to you. All of this is customizable. You decide what fields, what pages, everything. Right. So we're coming to the end. What are we going to do here? We're going to put some resources in. But I don't know about you, but I've struggled over the years to be able to fully resource my entire portfolio using Microsoft Project Scheduling. It's too difficult early on when we're not quite sure what a project's about. So check this out. And this has been around for a couple of years. I can say, right, I want to create a resource plan. Great. So I'm going to create a resource plan. And my project's going to go from today for 6 months. So I'm going to put in a date range. I'm going to say from September the 9th to, and don't worry about the American dates, you can change that with one button click. Right, so there you go. My project's going to go for 6 months. And I need some people. So I click on build team. What does it access now? It's accessing the enterprise resource pool. Bloody hell. 3 minutes. I hate running over time. I'll see what I can do. I just want Aaron, an accountant. There we go, really fast. Add, save and close. I'll go into 1.5 speed now. Come on. And what I'm going to do is choose FTEs, and I'm going to make it months. This shouldn't be too hard for people. They should be able to go, right, I just need one Aaron, 0.5 of an Aaron, 0.5. You can see what I'm doing? And then with accountant, because it's a generic role, I'm going to need three, two. That's it, done. And what I'm going to do is ask Project Server to read that resource information. I'm now going to hit publish. And guess what? You've now gone in and added the resourcing in for the project at a high level. So it's that easy. And if you've gone and costed those resources, you're starting to get now the resource cost coming through. If I now hit close, I'll just pick one, show it to you, and I feel like I've got the point across. If I hit close again, check it in. What I've done now is I've created a new project called Cynthia's new computer system. I've attached some resources to it. There it is. It's in the first stage. It's even in the predefined stage. And now if I go to the resources tab, it was accountant, wasn't it, guys? It was accountant, yep. So I'll just clear all and I'll choose, that's a generic no, generic yes. I can't remember which one. I'll just take both. Resource availability, and from this now produce all sorts of resourcing information. So there you go. Just while we're waiting for that, that's really the key thing. So what I hope I've done is convince you that there's a bit of information you have to gather, but really we don't have a major block anymore. I'll just change the... Yeah, there we go. Okay, it hasn't published it yet, but what you will see is some blue bars appear where an accountant appears. Sorry, I rushed it towards the end there. So what I hope I've done is convince you that being able to load up projects, not require schedules, attach resourcing to them at a high level with resource plans will give you that resource overview and also be able to choose the right projects. So to finish off with, what I just wanted to say was if you've got any questions from tomorrow, I'll have that slide deck down. And as some of you know in this room, more than happy to come in and do a much more detailed presentation and show you a little bit more. But effectively, that was how you choose the right projects in a project server. Thank you very much for your attendance. Now, do you have any questions before I go? No? You can ask me if you go. I'm a stickler for time. I'm 5 minutes early. Jeez. So, there you go. I'm operating. I can't even read a watch. I mean, I hope you haven't lost confidence in my abilities. But while you're here, let me just show you one more thing, which I think you'll like. And I just want to give you an example of some of the beautiful reports we can get out of Project Server these days using Excel services. This is just Excel I'm about to show you. And it won't take 5 minutes. And if I click on, I'll just show you a dashboard that one of my staff created in, sorry? Oh, yeah, thank you. How long are you guys going to wait? There we go. So you can see there, there's some of the, just some of the charts and views. One of my staff created that for me in about an hour and a half. It's just different things that you can do. And then you've got inside there, under reports, sitting inside, because the online version uses Excel services as well as SQL, you'll see that you've got a whole range of stuff that you can produce. And for example, project level data, just it's using Excel online. And there you go, there's your data, nice and live. It uses pivot tables, so you can pick and choose fields from Microsoft Project, bring them across, pivot table them, chart them, and make them available to you, to your organization. Right, I think now I can say thank you very much, and thank you for coming along, and good luck.